belted to right field. Ryan O'Hearn has a grand slam. Turn and burn O'Hearn.
Pitch. Swing and a high fly ball. Deep left field. Way back there. It is gone. Another grand slam. Whit Merrifield's fourth hit of the night is a grand slam, and the Royals lead it 12-1.
I get satisfaction out of the grand slams, not like four runs on one swing. That's the satisfaction that I get. But, you know, it's always fun to watch kids, you know, add to their story, if you will. O'Hearn's worked so hard and has struggled this part, but, you know, big, you know, grand slam in his home state is kind of cool. And Whit's story, you know, from what he's been able to accomplish since he's been here, it's just been amazing.
Royals with two grand slams, 12 runs last night against the first place Astros in Houston. Royals roll 12-2. And here to talk about the Royals is Les Norman, former Royal himself, motivational speaker. We'll tell you more about how you can check out his website and what he has to offer. He's also on Sports Talk Radio in Kansas City. We have Les on before. He's been out in our area before for the Men and Boys Rally. It's always good to have Les on. How you doing, Les?
I'm doing fantastic, especially after a game like that last night. Holy cow.
Have you ever been involved in a game where you were on a team that hit two grand slams in a game, or you were on the other side, the other team hit two grand slams against you?
Well, I'm more than sure that I was probably more against me than anything. I mean, there was a game in AA we played in Nashville back when it was with the Twins many years ago, and I think we ended up winning the game 25-5, and I went 6-for-8 that game and was the third best hitter on our team that day. And I think we hit like maybe three grand slams that day. I was not one of them, but yeah, just one time ever I've seen something like that wasn't involved with a wiffle ball of some kind.
Man, that was crazy last night seeing that. And certainly a home run park, as we know, but the Royals, they seem to be hitting a lot of home runs, although I think I saw the stat from Flanny the other day that they're 21st in home runs. Of course, the league has really gone home run or bust. But, you know, the Royals are 13-24, but they're fun to watch. I mean, you see the speed, which was something we knew they had going into the season, but now we're seeing the power of Soler, and we've always known he had it. But can he be consistent with it? Hunter Dozier's hitting the cover off the ball, leading the American League in batting average, and I don't think anybody saw that coming. Of course, Whit is just steady Whit. And then Mondesi is off to a great start, and maybe he's just scratching the surface of what he can do. This Royals team with the speed and then some of that power, it's been fun to watch, even though they've lost some games, hasn't it?
It's amazing to watch, and I think that it's easy to get caught up in the win-loss column or the AL Central standings or comparing this Royals team to other teams that are first or second in their divisions or playing well. But let's remember, you know, there's always the ebbs and flows after a World Series, and the World Series win was just 4 years ago, and this team is dramatically different than what it was just 4 years ago. And this is the business of baseball. Winning teams don't stay together usually, especially mid-market or small-market teams like the Royals. So I said this last night here in Kansas City on the radio that fans of the Royals, I urge them to not pay attention to the wins and losses. Watch the greatness. Watch the superstars in the making that you're seeing right now, the resurgence of Alex Gordon in the final year of a big contract year. Imagine the future of, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, Nicky Lopez coming up from AAA and being that partner with Adalberto Mondesi up the middle for years to come. Whit Merrifield, like Ned said, is Whit Merrifield. Dozier leading the American League. He does not miss mistakes. He has developed into an amazing hitter, and O'Hearn starting to swing the bat well because they were patient and gave him the at-bats. Soler, if he could just get the strikeouts down, you're going to see another guy. And pretty soon you're going to forget who he got traded for in the Wade Davis deal. So, yeah, we're seeing amazing things. And if you just watch every night something great happening, you're going to start to fall in love with this team even more very quickly.
Well, the guy to me that's worth the price of admission, and there's many that you just mentioned, but the one that stands out is Mondesi. And, you know, you sit here and you think back that he was on that World Series roster at the very last minute, of course, back in 15. He wasn't ready at the big league level with the bat. Maybe he was, you know, forced into it a little sooner than expected. And now it's suddenly all starting to click. And this kid, his speed, the plays he make it short, and now with the bat, and then if he becomes even more selective at the plate, sometimes a little bit more of a free swinger. I mean, just tell us about the potential of this young man.
Well, there's no ceiling on him. I mean, one of the examples, you know, you mentioned him coming into the World Series and having that at bat. I believe he struck out. But remember, he was 19 years old at the time. And I think the reason why they did that was because the game doesn't get surreal with a young man who's been around the big leagues. His dad, Raul Mondesi, you know, the former Dodger outfielder and the great home run hitter that he was, he's been around the game. So it's not going to eat him up and swallow him up. So if you watch the at-bat last night where he hit the double after Merrifield hit yet another triple, that was a late-breaking slider that was down and away, and he didn't get forward on it. He didn't pull off on it. He trusted his hands. It just tells you how fast he is. And one of the many ways one of the many areas of talent that he has, he's just got so many facets to his game. So I think the amazing thing is that we saw the early Mondesi who – we kept talking about potential, and you would see flashes of brilliance. So what you're seeing now is consistent brilliance in many areas, and he's had enough time and enough big league pedigree that now it's not going to eat him alive mentally. This is an expectation for him. It's not a cockiness or arrogance. It's a confidence. It's, again, to close, it's just an absolute superstar coming into his own, and he's doing it at an early age, which points to long-term contracts, which points to... when was the last time the Royals had a shortstop of this caliber? I can't remember. They've had good ones, but not great ones. And he is one of, if not the best in the game.
Former Royal Les Norman, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. So you mentioned Alex Gordon. We'll go from young to one of the elder statesmen on the team. Are you surprised that Gordon has figured something out this year? I mean, it really feels like he's been in about a two and a half year slump. He's had a few weeks here and there. And I think some people may even go, wait a minute here. Gordon's in the last year of his contract. If he played like he has been playing offensively, that might be the end of his career. There have been some things said about him that he has been stubborn in his career in regards to making adjustments and sticking to his routine. I hear that he's changed his routine. He's always been a weightlifting freak and that he's maybe lightened the load when it comes to that. Do you think that's part of it that, you know, I love playing baseball, but now I'm in the final year of my deal. I could be done if I don't adjust.
Well, here's what I think is going on with Alex Gordon, and I think you've touched on some points, Wade, that are normal for almost every guy that's in the last year of a big contract that might still want to play. They're going to kick it in gear just a little bit. They know they have something to play for now. There are major league players out there that finally get their big, humongous contract and then rest in their laurels and coast through, and maybe they don't work as hard, but I don't believe any of those are the case with Alex Gordon. I just think the timing of it is where for two and a half years, like you said, he was carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. Every at-bat, he was trying to live up to the dollar that the loyal Royals gave to him. It's a little bit easier on defense to just relax and play the game. You can run around and feel free and all that, but you can do that every inning. You get nine chances to go out on defense, whereas you might get four chances and just one or two good pitches to hit throughout an entire game. So there's a lot more pressure there. And I think this year, Alex Gordon is just relaxing. He's not trying so hard. He's got all these star studs around him, but he doesn't have to be the man. The expectations aren't heaped up on him. Alex Gordon, at least offensively, has fallen kind of into the shadows a little bit, and I think he's okay with that. So now he can have fun, play the game, relax his hands mechanically. He's not trying so hard. He's not tinkering. There was a season where he was kind of bullheaded and wouldn't make changes, and that didn't work for 2.5 years. He backed off on that. He relaxed a little bit physically. He relaxed a lot mentally. And now I just think what we probably could have seen over the last 2.5 years, you're just seeing right now.
Yeah, it's fun to watch, and I'm glad that he's been able to turn it around, because I honestly didn't think he could do what he's doing this year. So that it's,
yeah,
it's,
me neither.
It's awesome to see. And it also presents an interesting situation, because what do the Royals do with Gordon? Do you think they can, because he is playing well, if he could continue to play well this year, suddenly I think we go from coming into the season going, yeah, he's probably not going to be a part of this team, to maybe a 1 or 2 year deal, and he stays with the Royals a little longer?
I'd sign him to a 2-year deal because if he can hit this like this now and he takes care of his body the way he does, he could do this again next year. Mm-hmm. And even if it's in a less capacity, that's still okay because what you get defensively from him, I mean, imagine, you know, the bottom of the Royals lineup right now is atrocious as far as batting average. Yes. O'Hearn's picking it up a little bit, but you got Owings that comes in there. Hamilton's not doing well. Maldonado's a great defensive catcher, but he's, you know, these guys aren't even really close to 200. O'Hearn just got up past that, but he's also driving in runs, so it's a serviceable bat in the lineup. Alex Gordon could do a good job hitting 250, 260 with a few home runs and some leadership down at the bottom of the order to fill holes. He could be the transition guy until the Royals got back to the top of the order next year or the year after. And then let's not forget the quiet leadership that he provides. He can have some of these young stars go to him for questions. He can teach him by both example and through conversations how to play the game, how to handle adversity, because Alex Gordon went through 2.5 to 3 years of adversity with a huge contract. So he brings a lot to the game still. He's not over the hill. I think if he wants to play, the Royals would be wise to give him at least one, but I think the best fit for Alex would be a 2-year deal that would both help the team and provide stop gaps where necessary.
Former Royal and motivational speaker Les Norman, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. You mentioned Chris Owings, and I was saying this early in the year that I felt like he probably was playing too much, and now I've seen more and more people kind of jump on that wagon lately. What are your thoughts on Owings? Because he has struggled this year at the plate. Sometimes it takes a little while to get going. We've certainly seen Gordon struggle for a while, as we just documented. But do you think Owings is maybe playing too much, or do you think it's about right?
I think he's playing too much, too. I know he had a good spring training, but here's the thing we have to remember. That in spring training, especially the established pitchers, they're not fighting for a job. They're going to throw more fastballs, and they're just trying to get their arm ready, get their release point right, get their control, everything correct, and get a good feel for the season. The young guys are the ones that are fighting for a spot. They're going to throw more breaking balls, but they still have to get their arm in shape and not get hurt. And so, for me, spring training was always way easier to hit in. I was more confident. I didn't put too much pressure on myself, whether I was trying to make a big league team or not, which was usually every season of my career. But it was just easier because you're getting more pitches to hit, and if you don't, then you only have yourself to blame. So it's really a lot less pressure. It's more about getting yourself in shape physically. So you're going to see the bigger results. Once he got here, he's been not good at the plate, swinging at bad pitches, hitting a few balls hard, but O'Hearn was squaring balls up and just not seeing any success. Owings was not doing that. People talk about his versatility, but we already have Whit Merrifield that is the most versatile player in baseball, so you haven't needed it. I know that I think they paid him a 1-year, maybe $1 million thing or something like that. Here's what you noticed last night. At the end of the game, you see White come in. He's a designated pitcher, right? He comes in to pitch. He's throwing between 77 and 81 miles an hour. He threw Owings 3 hittable pitches, and he didn't even swing at him.
Yeah.
That tells you what kind of mental thing that he's going through right now. He's not producing. I've seen him butcher a couple balls, play in the outfield. So it may be time for a guy like even Bubba Starling, who's crushing the ball and hitting well, to come up, show what he can do. We're not going to be in the playoffs this year, but he can be part of something if you have any inkling that he's going to be part of your future. Stop worrying about control and service time. Let Nicky Lopez come up and get in the mix. Let Bubba Starling come up and get in the mix. And cut bait with certain guys like Owings, who may just come on as a utility guy on a team that's pushing to the playoffs.
And I know there was kind of a battle for the spot between him and Brian Goodwin, and now Goodwin goes to the Angels. Royals chose Owings, and Goodwin's having a really good year for the Angels, although I don't know if he would have got as many at-bats and opportunities with the Royals, so it's hard to compare that situation. Let's go to the pitching, where that's really been the problem, it seems like. I mean, the offense, there's been games where they've been up and down. We know that. It happens all the time in baseball. And
they've
had a couple double-digit games recently, 15 runs against the Tigers, 12 last night, the 2 grand slams. But early in the year, the bullpen, I mean, it just flat-out cost them game after game after game after game. The bullpen really has stabilized to an extent the last 2 or 3 weeks. I know that was documented on the TV broadcast the other night. And then the starting pitching has kind of been up and down, although Duffy, his last 2 starts have been really good. What's your overall thoughts of the rotation and then the bullpen? And is there something to the fact that when we were talking about this the other day, that the Royals don't have too many starters this year that have actually gone deep in games? And I'm talking get through 7. And Jacob Junis seems to hit the wall in the 6th inning. He maybe can get through 6. They don't really have a bona fide workhorse or ace, as we know. They hope Keller can become that. Duffy has been for a short period of time there a few years ago where he was dominant. But is that maybe why the bullpen struggles too, is that there is a lot of workload put on them, even though early in the year there wasn't and they struggled?
I think that's part of it, but I do think it's a small part of it. I mean, anytime, especially early in the season, you have a bullpen that's overworked, you know, they haven't found their groove yet. And it does take some time, and I'm not making excuses for a bad bullpen because that bullpen has been, well, atrocious, for lack of a better word. They really have, and they've cost the Royals a lot of games. They blow leads and can't hold it, and when the Royals kind of put something together late, they give up more runs, so the Royals continue to, the offense continues to chase. So that was a difficult thing. You know, I think Kennedy has, being the veteran that he is done a great job. I mean, he gave up the home run against the Tigers the other day, but Kenley Jansen from the Dodgers had gave up 4 earned runs in his last inning. Closers get hit because it's just a small sample size. They don't get to pitch a lot, and especially on a losing team. So I think he's settled in well. You know, with this bullpen, it's good that they're stabilizing. Absolutely. I mean, you can't blame that, especially with the Royals offense. And it's easier to hide a bullpen when the Royals are scoring 15 here and 12 here and 8 or 9 or 10 here. But the bottom line is that someone is either, well, we've said someone's going to have to step up. Now, I believe, is the time to start making some moves. Because what you don't want is this offense doing well, bullpen doing bad, and then you kind of have this clubhouse divided. And yeah. Dayton Moore's done a great job of not letting that happen since his tenure's got in. He come to Kansas City. He's all about integrity and character. He's managed the clubhouse well. So it's been a non-issue, but it can become an issue with the players if stuff like that continues. And so it's not just for wins and losses or blown leads. The bullpen needs to be shored up just for the sanity of the team unity kind of thing. One of the things that might be happening soon is what in Omaha, they use Zimmer, you know, they have a closer, so they use Zimmer as an opener. Mm-hmm. And what that means, you know, he throws 2 innings, and then you get your normal starter coming in the third that now might be a lefty, gives you a better look. And when you start doing that, even at the big league level, which has been done, it takes the bullpen out of play, or at least for an extended period of time, so they don't have a chance to blow leads when your bullpen struggles. Boxberger's been a nightmare. You know, Dykeman sometimes is on, sometimes is off. Peralta's starting to get hit around a lot. And then finally, you have your starting rotation that a true ace has not stood up, because Danny Duffy, since he's come off the DL, has pitched great, but he's been hurt. Keller was your horse, your opening day starter, but his walks are up, and he's starting to get really wild since the suspension. Lopez has done okay. He's pitched pretty well, even though he doesn't have a win yet. We'll see tonight, I think, he's pitching. But there hasn't been much offense behind him, so he's a remains-to-be-seen kind of thing. Homer Bailey's been up and down. So you really don't have a true ace on this staff, which, with a good offense, that's a good competition to have on that pitching staff. Who's going to step up and become the ace? Because now you've got 5 guys in a brotherhood fighting to be the man, and that's not a bad thing.
I think you and I agree on this, that the Royals are going in the right direction. We talked about the excitement on this team, but let's talk about the future. You mentioned Lopez, but certainly you can have, I remember when Damon and Beltran, and of course they acquired Dye, the Royals had a great outfield and a good offense, horrible bullpen, and the rotation wasn't any good. So what about the pitching and the future and what's down on the farm for the Royals to be excited about? You mentioned Lopez, but what other guys are you looking at and going, hey, they could really make a difference on this team, whether it be a pitcher or a position player?
Well, you've seen Gutierrez come up. You know, he's still a little bit nervous on the defensive side. Yeah. He's played some third base a little bit, but he's done pretty well. Kyle Zimmer, they didn't give him much of a sample size, and they put him down just to kind of see, okay, he's not going to fit into the starter's role. We want to groom him as a starter. With the way things have gone with the Royals starting and not stepping up, and you know, Junis still trying to find his control as well, you know, Zimmer becomes a viable candidate again, and I think now they'll give him more of an extended look and maybe be a consistent part of this rotation, or at least the bullpen at worst. Of course, Nicky Lopez. I mean, last week he had 26 at-bats. He didn't strike out once, and he got on base 13 times.
Wow.
I mean, the guy strikes out maybe 5 to 10 times every 100 at-bats. I mean, that's unheard of. But it's not just the offensive side either. He's hitting .330 or something like that. And every day he's making a sparkling play at second base. He's been big league ready for a year. And so, you know, that tells you he's going to have a bright future. I think Bubba Starling has finally figured it out. I mean, there's been the up and the down. The problem with Bubba Starling has been not his talent. It's been his mental acuity. He's his own worst enemy. I think he's finally ready. So it's time to give him a look. You still got like Stalmont and some of these younger guys that are continuing to filter themselves up into viable big league pitchers. So, and then you've got Melbers Valoria, who is a guy that I know Maldonado signed for the 1 year deal to spell Selvey when he got hurt. However, he's another guy that's big league ready, and he's I think just 22 years old. So you've got a good farm system. It's not like it used to be when it was number one ranked in all of Major League Baseball. However, they're good enough down there that you've got viable options that just by having a good call-up mid-season with three or four guys won't deplete your minor league system. There's enough guys out there that are good enough prospects that for years to come can help while we build this team into a World Series contender again.
Les Norman's our guest. Time for the off-the-wall question, Les. I don't know if you saw this, but the Missouri Tiger baseball team, they won a game, and they were interviewing a couple of the players, and other players staged a knighting behind the player while the interview was taking place on television, and then they had a boxing match. Have you seen this?
I have not seen that, but I need to.
Oh, my goodness. We get off the air, I'm going to have to get your email, and I'll send you the link, or yes. I can tweet you, because it's hilarious. So that leads me to the off-the-wall question. What kind of prank, a clean prank you can share with the audience, what kind of prank, or what's the best prank you've been involved in or been a victim of? And because you hear about the fun stuff they do in the locker room and clubhouses, and guys have great chemistry, mess with each other. Do you have a story you can share with people?
I do. It was a big league story, and it was I was not a starter throughout my short big league career. I was a backup, and so I spent a lot of time on the bench studying the game, watching the game, listening to guys like George Brett when he was coaching. It was one of his first or second years as a coach, and so one day I'm watching the games in the second inning, and I'm sitting between David Howard, former utility man, and George Brett. And you know, George is always known for his big chaws, and he wraps it in gum. So him and Howie, David Howard, are sticking their hands out, and George is putting his fingers in, trying to smack into David Howard's open palm to see if he could catch his fingers. And they kept going back and forth. So I got tired of it because it was annoying. So I got up and moved. Two, three innings later, they do the same thing, but they come over and sit next to me again. And so finally I said, okay, I've had enough of this. I'm going to see if I can do it. So I closed my eyes, opened my hand, and George took out the whole wad of chew in his mouth and smacked it in my hand. And reflexively, I made a fist, and that junk oozed all between my fingers. And so I had to run in the bathroom and lose whatever food I had partaken in.
Ew.
That day, yes. But, it definitely gave me a hatred for tobacco, I'll tell you that. But, they'd planned it the whole day, and it wasn't funny at the time, but now I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. Once time goes by, you can forgive and maybe not forget, obviously, but you can forgive and you can find some humor in it. Let everybody know where they can learn about you and your stuff. You have a website, and you go around. I know you've done, obviously came to this area and did motivational speaking and tell people how they can hear you on the radio in KC and all that.
Absolutely. Well, here in Kansas City, if you're coming through, my show airs Tuesdays at 6 p.m. on our ESPN Kansas City 94.5 FM, and then Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. on Sports Radio 810. But if you're not in Kansas City, you don't have to be through here to listen to it live. You can just go to my website, which is lesnorman.com. It's one S, even though most people might say I'm less than them. It's Les, L-E-S, Norman.com/radio, and all my podcasts are up on there. I travel and do a lot of business speaking, a lot of ministry speaking, a lot of different things. I'm also, I just got my advanced certification as a life coach now, so I'm doing a lot of that. TV here in Kansas City, covering the Royals for Spectrum Sports. So yeah, life is good, life is crazy, and the more important thing of all that, I'm coaching both my boys' teams, spending time with them, so life is good.
It is good. You're very busy, and we appreciate you taking the time out of that busy schedule to join us to talk Royals baseball, and we look forward to talking to you down the line. I appreciate the time,
Absolutely.
Les.
You got to wait anytime, my friend.
Awesome. Take care. That's Les Norman, our guest today on The Sports Ticket.